Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on the 32nd Sunday of Ordinary Time. Today we will hear the Gospel of St. Mark and talk about the meaning of true worship. Please stay with us and we'll be right back.
Don't you just love the fall with all its bake sales? The St. Francis of Assisi Mission Altar Society is holding their Thanksgiving Bake Sale Sunday, November 18th from 8 a.m. till 1 p.m. Goodies and delectables galore in Legato at 303 FM 534 and County Road 185. For complete information, call 361-562-7643.
It's a night of big-time games and big-time prizes at the KC Hall in Robstown. Friday, November 16th, all alumni and parents are encouraged to enjoy this fun fundraiser in support of St. Anthony's School. Your admission includes dinner and everything you'll need to have a great evening. For complete information on this evening of food and fun, please call Mary Ramone at 387-4051.
Good morning, Bishop. How are you this morning?
I'm very well, Barbara. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Well, our election is over with.
Yes, it is. And we want to congratulate President Obama on his reelection and remind ourselves that this is a time for all of us as Americans to pull together. And I also want to say that, this has been a very difficult election. I just in the days before the election was listening to the radio and so often heard about fraud here, fraud there, and I think we've really reduced ourselves to a low common denominator. And I just think it's a chance for all of us to relook at ourselves as Americans. You know, our political system really should be about civil discourse.
Right.
It should be about the exchange of ideas, and it should certainly be about working for the common good and working especially for the poor. And so in all this, and of course meaning poor also including those in the womb, those efforts that we have to respect human life.
These are
principles that were used throughout this campaign time. And I just think it's a time for all of us to relook at ourselves and to try to regather as Americans and work for the common good, and especially to rededicate ourselves to human life, as we say so often in all of its expressions, from birth in the womb, from conception in the womb, birth until natural death.
Right.
And this is a principle we cannot put into the arena of politics and not let human life be degraded as it is in our society today. So I would hope that we would all come together as a nation and work together.
Well, thank you, Bishop, for those comments. Well, our gospel this morning is from St. Mark, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
And before I read it, I do want to say I think it's very appropriate for this week after the elections. So I think it's important for all of us to examine ourselves on these words of the gospel. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the course of his teaching, Jesus said to the crowds, "Beware of the scribes, who like to go around in long robes and accept greetings in the marketplaces, seats of honor in synagogues, and places of honor at banquets. They devour the houses of widows and, as a pretext, recite lengthy prayers. They will receive a severe condemnation." He sat opposite the treasury and observed how the crowd put money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow also came and put in two small coins worth a few cents. Calling his disciples to himself, he said to them, Amen, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the other contributors to the treasury. For they have all contributed from their surplus wealth, but she, from her poverty, has contributed all she had, her whole livelihood. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this is such a beautiful gospel.
It is, and it's one of those that really requires time to examine ourselves because, you know, there's a lot of humanity in this. It's
right.
Not just the scribes or the Pharisees that Jesus talks about. He's talking to all of us.
Exactly.
And every human being, in a certain sense, has a need to be recognized. It's part of being a human that recognition, first of all, that I'm alive, that I am right. a person, that I am worth something. Not only in the eyes of God, but also in the eyes of those around me. So there's that in us. What Jesus, I think, is really aiming at is that taking that to the extreme where it's ego-driven. It's being recognized for being recognized's sake. There's five areas that Jesus points out in bringing his point across. And the first one, of course, is those who like to draw attention to themselves. And there we can, again, from our own experience, just look at the way we interact with people. I sometimes try to examine myself how many times I use the word I. I do this, I, you know, and there's all sorts of room for growth for all of us there where somebody's talking to us and we are kind of a one-up on them. You know, we've got a better story or we've got a better experience.
Instead of listening to their experience.
Exactly.
Thanking them for the work that they do.
Right, and receiving them, really, into right. our life. And the other one is kind of the front seat, again, in full view, that everybody knows I'm here and everybody's kind of praising the fact that, that I'm here or that I'm a person in the front row, however we want to apply that to our own life. And I think number three is that he points out is seats of honor at banquets and, you know, even in family gatherings, how we want to make sure we have this seat or that seat, or if we're in a parish gathering, we may want to sit here or sit there and accordingly, but designated seats of honor. In the time of Jesus, the first designated guest, the honored one is on the right and the second is on the left. And then it went back left, right, I mean, right, left, all the way down. So it was a very hierarchical seating chart, you might say. And we've suffered from that in the church a bit, even in our, you all wouldn't know, but when there were many, many priests and rectories, there was that same kind of an order. And, you know, it's not that we should not recognize people that are of service, but at the same time, we don't call that to ourselves. We don't look for those things for ourselves. So seeking honor in places, even at a table, is something that he points at, is something that we can look at. Number four gets, I would say, a little more tragic, taking advantage of the poor. He uses the word, they devour the houses of widows.
That's such a strong term.
That is, it is.
Very
but it's certainly,
term.
Of course, widows and orphans were the select group in the life of Jesus for those to be helped. And in the Old Testament, often they are pointing to is these are the ones among you that you must take care of. And at times there in these circles that Jesus saw, he could see that perhaps they were taking advantage of those people, maybe asking for funds or help or something, but you know they didn't have anything really to give. So again, we're looking at ourselves, how we may seek gain in our circle of friends or you know, even in society at the cost of the poor. And this is something that we have to be very, very careful of. And finally, the fifth area that he points to in this is prayers that are a form of false piety. We all feel that perhaps more words are better, lengthier speeches are more important, et cetera, et cetera. And Jesus, of course, always reminds us that it's our heart that is the true prayer. You know, the words that come from our heart and are very significant, that's the true prayer. And so he points, anyway, to these five areas that he knew in his life and as he was teaching the crowds telling them to watch out for these areas of human life. So if each of us just kind of took those five points that he makes in the first part of this gospel and update them into our own life, we could see that perhaps we do some of this as well in our own life. And this is not bringing us to a real sense of faith when we are looking to aggrandize ourselves instead of being people, men and women of service.
Well, and he said that they would receive a very severe condemnation. So obviously he was not pleased with the way that the scribes were treating people. And, you know, and I wanted to ask you about the scribes. So this probably goes back to religion 101. But were the scribes in back in Jesus' time considered another religious sector? I mean, what kind of people were they?
If I'm not mistaken, they were part of the temple, and they were the ones who really interpreted the law. They were the ones who were able to explain and, you know, the meaning of the law. And so they were important. They were, of course, as in all circles of religion, there's those that have certain positions and others have others. And so there's a little bit of competition. And so there's sometimes they were at odds with other factions or other parts. I shouldn't say factions, other parts of the temple teaching authority.
Right, so. Right. Okay. Well, then we come to the point where, and we'll talk more about this after the break, about how he sat down opposite the treasury and he just started to observe.
Right.
Which is where we really learn so much about people when we observe.
Exactly.
And about our own behavior, too.
Exactly. And, you know, there's some very critical points there in that very small example that he uses about this widow that, you know, we can kind of just maybe overlook. But he's really, it's amazing how Jesus at one time brought a child and placed the child in the midst of the disciples and said, unless you become like this little child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. They're pointing to the simplicity, the nature of trust that a child has in the adult or in their parents, speaking to us of our true trust as part of our faith, the heart of our faith in God our Father, and also this widow. So, I mean, it's amazing whenever you look at the people that Jesus points to. This is something to observe in the gospel, especially during this year of faith. Who does he point to as the examples? There were even the centurions whose faith was greater than all those who believed because he trusted that his son would be cured in the words of Jesus. So here's another example of someone that Jesus places in full view at the temple treasury and points to his disciples and says that person there has contributed more than all those who gave great amounts.
Yeah, it's a beautiful symbol for us all. And we're going to continue our conversation after the break. So please stay with us and we will be right back. All currently registered Wolf, Bear, and Weebelos Cub Scouts and currently registered Brownie and Junior Girl Scouts are invited to attend a Catholic Scouting Day of Recollection on Sunday, December 2nd at St. Pius X Catholic Church, 5620 Galahar Road. The theme for this year is Our Lady of Guadalupe. Leaders and parents are needed to assist your den or pack. From 1 till 5 p.m., there'll be crafts, games, and other fun events. Pre-registration is a must, and admittance is limited to the first 100 scouts who register. For complete information, call Augie Rivera, the Recollection Day Chair, 816-0605.
The deadline to RSVP for the Vatican II Symposium is November 14th. The event will be held at St. Peter, Prince of the Apostles Catholic Church, 3901 Violet Road on Saturday, December 1st, from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. Bishop Mulvey will open the symposium, followed by presentations by Dr. Jerry Telepak on Lumen Gentium, the Dogmatic Constitution of the Church, and Father Ken Hannon on Sacrosanctum Concilium, or the Constitution of Sacred Liturgy. Admission is free, and lunch is provided. To RSVP for this symposium, call the Diocese Chancery Office at 882-6191. Again, the deadline is November 14th.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, in the first part of the segment, you were talking about the five items that this gospel brings out, and one of them was about selfless service. And I heard you talking about that in your homily yesterday when we ordained 23 permanent deacons.
Right.
And what a blessing that is.
Right. It was a great moment for the church in Corpus Christi, and these men have been, and their wives have been with them, preparing for over 5 years, almost every Saturday coming to class and preparing themselves with theology, spirituality, homiletics, and some pastoral preparation as well. So now they'll be assigned. They're probably in their parishes this morning.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're heading to a parish with a new deacon on the altar, you may see that and also want to thank him and his wife for their generous service, which is a gift to the church. So, yes, you know, in that is an acceptance of an office. And I think that yesterday, as I mentioned, that it fits in very well because no one takes an office in the church upon themselves. We should be all commissioned or called forth. And that should be a real root understanding in our life as we do serve, that this is not a privileged position. This is a position of service. Again, we have to always go back and look at Jesus. I mean, the washing of the feet. If I, your Lord, and he gives himself that title, I am your Lord and Master, yet I have washed your feet, then you, even though you're ordained a deacon, even though you're ordained a priest, even though you're a Eucharist, extraordinary minister of Holy Communion, even though you're a lector, even though you're head of this group or that group, even though your first job, our first job, is to serve, to serve each other in a selfless way, to be a selfless service. And this goes back to what we just talked about in the last segment, is that nobody should take these honors upon themselves, seeking to be noticed. You know, as we said in the first one, a form of vanity or seeking the first seat. Well, now I'm have this honor, and so I deserve the first seat, or I should sit here over there rather than there, or taking advantage of people, or praying. You know, I would commend our brothers that if they're asked to offer a prayer, make it short, to the point, and meaningful from your heart.
Right, not lengthy.
Correct. So these are just things that really create a spirit in us, a spirit of selfless service, not a spirit of privilege or entitlement, as we might say in other areas. But this is true devotion. You know, devotion, prayer, always begins for us with the Eucharist and ends with the Eucharist. And as we serve and as we give our life in service to others, then we return to the Eucharist to say thank you. Because Jesus has given us not only the model of service in his own death and resurrection and memorializing that in a living way in the Eucharist, but it's also our source. You know, we join our service, our failures, our joys to his. And so we go back from there being refreshed in that moment of thanksgiving in the Eucharist, and we bring it all back to him. So, but the point is, it doesn't end there. It begins there and it ends there. It goes and it comes. So the Eucharist, for that reason, is the very heart of all of this. And so we have to once we find the Eucharist as that center point of Jesus's life and the center point for us as a church, then we realize that all these other things, these human honors, really don't mean anything. I think it was one of the saints of the church, I can't remember, who was given the honor of cardinal, being a cardinal, and he threw his hat up in the air and just kind of in a laughing way, you know, like, okay, you know, I accept it for the good of the church, but for me personally, I'm just who I am.
And that's what we want to aspire to.
Yeah, and that's a true sense of humility. Mm-hmm. I mean, the society and the church gives us certain honors, but, you know, we are who we are in the eyes of God, and we'll never know God fully until we see him face to face. So we have to keep that in mind, that all this that is gift to us is really for service and for no other reason.
And we can only hope that he'll look at us and say, well done, good and faithful servant.
Right, right. And there's another part of St. Luke's gospel that says after we've after the servant has worked in the field all day long and he comes back into the house, should the master say, okay, now sit down and I'll serve you? And Jesus said, no. He said, now fix my dinner and serve me. I mean, there's two sides to that. But one is that our service never ends. So we are servants to the end. So, right.
And that's good.
Yes.
Well, talking a little bit more about the widow who, mm-hmm. you know, put in her two small coins worth a few cents. I mean, I loved when Jesus said about the scribes, they contributed from their surplus wealth, but she contributed all she had, her entire livelihood. And so he was really comparing, you know, some words that I saw, the difference between authentic and counterfeit devotion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the point with that's a good definition or a good description, counterfeit devotion, because devotion's really not devotion unless it's from the heart, unless it's complete, unless it's totally sincere and real. So Jesus again points to this woman and kind of says that her few cents, or in our money exchange today, her few pennies
right.
were worth more than probably the thousands of dollars that everybody just dropped in with no sweat off their brow. Because, not because of the monetary amount, but because of the sacrifice that was involved. And that's the point. It's the sacrifice that's involved. It may not look like much, but it's sacrificial. And whenever we speak of stewardship, as we're doing so often in the church today and in our diocese, is really becoming a true sense, a true spirit, receiving a true spirit of stewardship, it always has to be understood to the degree of sacrifice. That's the amount.
Right.
So this widow did not hold back anything, where Jesus, not judging people, but could say, you know, that this put that, but they weren't sacrificing. So did they do it out of a spirit of sacrifice? Perhaps if it hit sacrifice in their life, it would have been a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever we are giving, whether it is a time, our talents that we have, that we're given and we've developed, or our treasure, the real part of the beginning part is really how much sacrifice is involved. You know, I can, you know, just in time, looking at time, I can give you a few minutes. But I may have a lot more time during the day that I just have wasted for myself. And so there's where we look at ourselves. Could I have given more? Or did I just give what was left over or what was convenient for my time schedule? Did I go out of my way? And so this is how we look at the stewardship of time. Was there any sacrifice in giving you that 1 hour?
Right. That the person needed or
right,
wanted.
Helping in the kitchen, say at a festival
right.
in the parish, or with the family dinner with Thanksgiving coming up. Okay, I'll give you a little bit of time to help you set up and clean up, but the rest of it I want to watch the ball game, you know,
right.
So leave me alone. So there's not a lot of sacrifice in that. Our talent, you know, again, any of that, what are we holding on to? That's always the conversion that one seeks in being good stewards. What are we holding on to in life that is personal and used only for me, kind of inward looking? These are things that we need to look at. And this is why Jesus used this woman to say she didn't hold on to anything. She didn't even hold on to the last penny. She gave it.
Mm-hmm.
She gave all that she had. And it's significant that Jesus brought that up, that she gave all, because she surrendered herself.
Right.
To God's plan and God's will in her life. And he saw that as an extremely, extremely generous act by this poor woman.
And she had faith that everything
right.
would work out okay.
Exactly. And that surrender of herself really puts her in the hands of God's
mm-hmm.
loving care.
Well, and it was so interesting to me that we have the gospel this week, because this coming Tuesday is the Coastal Bend Day of Giving, which they've had
right.
for the past couple of years.
Exactly.
And it's online. And it's an opportunity. There have been some donor foundations, and there are 30 local nonprofits
wow.
who do beautiful work in this
yes,
community, and among
right.
them Catholic Charities and Mother Teresa Shelter.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure.
And you can give online, and you can give $5, $10, $20, whatever your sacrificial gift is.
Right, exactly. And it's really an opportunity for everyone, you know, as a community, because we give within our church and parish communities, but also as a city, we have this opportunity this week to also be able to give. And the fact that it's a matching gift, that whatever is given is also matched.
Yeah, it's $10,333 that if donors give that amount, then they will be able to be matched that amount. So that's, they could have over $20,000. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, that is wonderful.
So
wonderful. And you told me that last year, what the percentage of just...
About 75% of all the donations last year were under $25.
Isn't that amazing?
It is. So that means that
everyone
can give.
Everyone has the opportunity, sure.
They can give. So for more information, it's this Tuesday, it's www.coastalbenddayofgiving.org.
All one word.
All one word.
Coastal Bend Day of Giving. Great.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yes, that fits in very well with our gospel today. Mm-hmm. And so it's a chance really for everybody to do some sacrificing.
And to help these organizations.
No matter, you know, not depending on the amount, but depending on the spirit of love and gift giving that is in each one of us.
Right. And today also we don't want to forget, Bishop, that it's Veterans Day.
Yes.
And there have been a lot of Veterans Day masses on Friday and Saturday and, of course, today.
Right. And we certainly look at and honor, you know, those who have been in other world wars that are still with us, and thank each one of you for your contribution and your self-sacrifice, really,
right,
of yourself and that your families had during those years. I remember letters from my uncle and my father that I still have the copies from my grandfather, you know, and the anxiety of parents when their children are away. So we know that many people sacrifice at this time. And we also want to remember the young ones that have been injured, those that have died, but also those who may now be handicapped in some way or another. So we're very grateful for the gift of yourself in preserving our freedom and helping our brothers and sisters around the world.
Yes, thank you. Well, if you could close our program this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Almighty and merciful God, graciously keep from us all adversity, so that, unhindered in mind and body alike, we may pursue in freedom of heart the things that are yours. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Veterans Day with us. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.